And let's turn again to the book of Ephesians. Today we're in chapter 5. In the second half of the letter to the Ephesians, as we've seen over the last several weeks, the second half can be summed up with the word walk, your Christian walk. We no longer walk as we did in the former life. We walk in love, and today we come to this command. We are to walk as children of light. John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace, he spent many, many years in darkness, deep darkness, before the Lord saved him. Newton said of this, when God rescued him and forgave him his sins, it was like a long night of darkness had finally come to an end. He said, my whole life I had been trapped in a deep, dark dungeon until Christ burst open the dungeon door and his light shined upon me. It was then that Newton's life was transformed and he began experiencing God's amazing grace and walking this new path of light. Today, Christian, you are reminded, we are reminded that God has given us his light. He has come with his amazing grace into our lives. And now he calls us, walk as my child, walk as one who's been freed from darkness, live in the light. So let's read today our passage, Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we thank you for your word that shines light into our hearts and into our life, Lord. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that shines a light on the words of Scripture, Lord. And we pray that that would happen this morning, Lord, that your Spirit would make these words clear to us. Illuminate the Scriptures, Lord, so they jump off the page, Father, and into our hearts that we might apply these words and walk as children of light. Lord, we are incomplete and we are imperfect. We need your holy word. We need your truth. So pour it into our hearts, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, you see the outline there printed in your bulletin. We'll consider 5 points this morning. We begin with children of light. I heard a story recently about a man, basically lived on the street. He lived on the street and he was an extremely heavy drinker. He wore the same clothes day after day. As you can imagine, his clothes were extremely dirty. He didn't have an opportunity to bathe, and so his hair was long and matted. His beard was dirty as well. He was just a rough-looking character. Well, a pastor was walking down the street one day, and the pastor ran into this man on the street, and they struck up a conversation, and the pastor invited this man to come to church. Amazingly, that Sunday morning, the man came to church, surprising the pastor and many other people. And as the man walked up to the door, he put out his cigarette as he was walking up to the door and kind of tossed it on the ground. He was smelling heavily of alcohol. He was greeted by a man there, a church greeter at the door. And the greeter said this, "Good morning, sir. Welcome to church." And he said, "Sir, are you going to wear this into God's house? This is God's house. We wear our Sunday best here." That was all the man had to wear, so he lowered his head, he turned around, and he left. See, for this church greeter that day, and for many other professed Christians, gaining access to God means first cleaning yourself up. Begin acting right. Begin doing the right things. Begin doing well. Walk the walk first, and then God will accept you. A lot of church people think this way. But notice verse 8. Notice the order of events that Paul tells us in verse 8. He says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Notice, walk as children of light. When does this happen? It comes second. It comes after. You see this? You are first transformed from darkness to light, and then you walk as children of light. Justification, being right with God, comes first. You're declared righteous by God only through Christ, and then comes sanctification. Then comes walking in holiness. In verse 8 here, Paul is really just restating the whole structure of the letter of Ephesians. Remember, we've seen this, chapters 1 through 3, the first half, are all about the glorious doctrines of grace, the riches of grace, salvation in Christ. You are adopted by Christ when you are dead in your sins and trespasses. And then in chapter 4, after this glorious, the glorious riches of God's grace, then comes the commands to walk after God has given you His light. The walking can only come after the transforming grace of Christ. And notice again, verse 8, this phrase Paul uses, in the Lord. This is where the transformation takes place. This is where the rubber meets the road in the Christian life. In the Lord, this phrase, in the Lord or in Christ, it means that you are trusting in Christ. You are found in Christ. Your soul is hidden in Christ. Your sins forgiven in Christ. You're covered by Christ. His blood covers you and you are given His righteousness. Paul loves to use this phrase, in the Lord or in Christ or in Him. We've seen this several times. Chapter 1, verse 1, he opens the letter by writing to the saints in Christ Jesus. Chapter 1, verse 4, He chose us in Him. Chapter 1, verse 7, in Him we have redemption. 1:11, in Him we have obtained an inheritance. 2:13, you who were once far off have been brought near in Christ Jesus. So Paul is stating it again. The transformation comes. You are brought from darkness to light. You become children of light in the Lord, in Christ. One of the best ways I've heard this phrase, in Christ, described is when you get to heaven and God asks you, why should I let you into my heaven? You say, because I am in Him. And you point to Christ. I am in Christ. He is covering me. I am found in Him. So notice something else about verse 8 here. How Paul states the before and after, and this just completely shatters the mindset of that church greeter at the church that morning. Notice verse 8 again. Before you were darkness, now you are light. Notice what's missing from these phrases. There's no preposition. You see this? Before you were darkness. It's not before you were in darkness, or before you were around some darkness, before you might have done some dark things. No, it's before you were darkness. This is everyone who is apart from Christ. Today, if you are apart from Christ, not trusting in Christ, that describes you. Everyone who is in Christ today, this is who you were before you were saved. You were darkness, completely dark. Not just in darkness, but you were darkness. Chapter 2, verse 1 tells us about this. And you were dead in sins and trespasses. Not just doing a few wrong things, you were dead in sin. Following the prince of the power of the air, sons of disobedience. You're children of light now, but before, you were a son, a child of disobedience. Spiritually dead, totally dark. You think of a deep, dark cave. There's no light whatsoever. There's no way to get light into this cave. It's completely covered. You put your hand in front of your face, you can't see your hand even an inch in front of your face. That's how dark it is. And that cave will be forever dark unless what? Somebody shines light into the cave. Something must penetrate the darkness. That's what Paul is saying. Before Christ came, shining his light into your life, you were darkness, without hope, dead in your sins. But now you are lights. Not just you do some things that reflect the light or belong to the light. No, now you are, your status, your essence now is lights. You were darkness, you are light. It's a complete, total transformation, a change of nature. That's what it means to belong to Christ. The light of the world, Jesus Christ, brought you from death to life. After all this, then Paul gives the command. You see this? After this declaration that you have been completely transformed from darkness to light, then comes the command, now you walk as children of light. You know, Paul knows this doctrine all too true because this is his story. Paul lived this. He knows this firsthand. He was darkness. Yeah, he was extremely religious. He knew the scriptures backwards and forward. He had the best religious education that anyone could ever attain to. You see Paul, or Saul, before he was Paul, walking down the street, and you think, this is someone who is put together. He has it all together. He's wealthy. He's connected. He's educated. You think, this is someone I want to be like. But Paul's looking back, remembering the darkness that he was in, even though he was full of religion. He didn't have Christ. And so he was darkness until God blinded him. And Acts 9 verse 1 says, after 3 days, something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight, and immediately he was baptized. God caused the darkness to fall from his eyes. Now, he didn't just decide to do better. He didn't just change some things about his life. No, he was transformed from darkness to light. That is the grace of Christ. Then he received his assignment, walk as children of light. So now that we understand where that assignment to walk as children of light, that command, fits into our spiritual life, then Paul, beginning in verse 9, starts to tell us, what does this now look like? Now that you are a child of light, now that you have gone from darkness to light through Christ, only through Christ, what should your life look like? What should we expect to see in your life because you are a child of light? So our second point this morning is fruit. You see in verse 9, the first mark of a child of light, someone who is in Christ, is that their fruit will be found. You will bear fruit. Verse 9, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And notice this phrase, look closely at this phrase, fruit of light. Where does the fruit in your life come from? How does the fruit grow? That the light is what brings the fruit. You know, in your home, I'm sure you have plants, you have trees, you have flowers. They grow because of light. Without light, they will wither away. They won't flourish. It's the same for the Christian who is in Christ. You must have the light of Christ shining in your light in order to bear fruit. We know the familiar words of Jesus himself in John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from the light of Christ, you will not bear fruit. You cannot bear fruit. But Christian, children of light, you who abide in Christ and in his word, you will bear much fruit. And notice verse 9, what sort of fruit Christ is producing in you. What does the light of Christ produce? Verse 9 tells us what is good and right and true. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Those who are children of light will bear this fruit. Well, then next we come to discernment. That's our third point this morning, discernment. Another mark of a child of light is they will be discerning. Now, in the ancient world, this word discernment was used to speak of a method for marking coins as genuine. A discerner was somebody who would use equipment, and they would examine a coin. They would examine the ridges and the images to discern if this was in fact an authentic coin. So in the same way, you apply that to your spiritual life. Children of light are those who test and examine, those who search diligently, looking closely, spending time so that you can learn what is pleasing to your Heavenly Father. Romans 12:2 tells us about this discernment. Romans 12:2 says, "Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God." You hear that? By testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We discern what is pleasing to the Lord by testing, by searching the Scriptures. And this process of discernment, just by the very nature of this word discernment, it's not something that comes quickly or something that comes easily. True discernment takes time. And sometimes when I'm watching sports with my kids, we'll see something amazing come on the TV, somebody, you know, catch a long pass, a touchdown pass, or someone make a spectacular three-pointer, or someone who's running a 100-meter dash at a really fast speed, and my kids will always ask the same question. They always say, "How did they do that? How did that person do that?" Because what we see on the screen is so incredible. My answer is always the same. Practice. They did that because what you see on TV is just the tip of the iceberg. What's behind the scenes is thousands and thousands of hours of practice. When you see a mature Christian who discerns the Lord's will for their life, a mature Christian who is full of the joy of the Lord, sanctified, at peace, at rest. By the way, we are blessed in this congregation to have many people who live this out, many wise saints who are an example to us. So much to learn from these saints. You know how these Christians got to that place? It's the work of discernment, practicing discernment, reading the Word, studying the Word diligently, day in and day out. You see these Christians and you wonder, how do they get like this? How do they have so much peace when life is in turmoil and the waves are shaking us up and down? You don't see what's happening at home when they're in their prayer closet day after day after day on their knees before the Lord, seeking the Lord's will in His Word, when they're in worship week in and week out, faithfully discerning what is pleasing to the Lord. Discernment is a work. It's a process. And notice verse 10 again. You discern what is pleasing to the Lord. What is the goal in studying the Scripture and gaining discernment? It's so that you may please your Heavenly Father. You know, as I think and reflect over my life, some of the most memorable moments that stand out, conversations with my earthly father and my mother, is times when they have said to me, looked me in the eye and said, "I am pleased because of this, what you have done here. I'm proud of you because of this." Some of you probably have moments in your life that you think back, words that your dad said to you or your mom might have said to you or a grandparent, you know, "I am proud of you because of this." It means so much. Here in Hartsville, we have a ministry at a local elementary school called All Pro Dads. It's a ministry where we connect, help dads to connect better with their kids. And the best part of it every single month, whenever we meet, it's called the proud moment. And the proud moment is we ask the dads to look their kids in the eyes and tell them what you are proud of your child for. It's worth coming just to see the kids light up because they are so overjoyed hearing those words that their father is pleased by their behavior. Christian, that is what you're discerning when you're studying the word, a child of light. You're learning what it is to please the Lord. And what a blessing that is as children of God, that we can please the Lord. That our Heavenly Father is not just sitting in heaven looking down on us thinking, how can I smite my child, or I'm displeased by my child. That's not the posture of the Lord towards His children. We can please the Lord. And that's what we're discerning. Children of light, just as you are so overjoyed by your earthly father or mother, or someone on earth who tells you they are proud of you, how much greater it is when the Lord is pleased by you. That's what we're discerning. But let's dig a little deeper here for a second. What would be the opposite of pleasing the Lord? I think it would be seeking to please people. Instead of discerning what is pleasing to the Lord, many Christians, sadly, spend their time seeking and discerning what is pleasing to the people around them. So many hours spent trying to impress people, trying to fit in with those around us, seeking to please man even over our God. Proverbs 29, verse 25 tells us that the fear of man, we could say people-pleasing, lays a snare. It's a trap. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul tells us, serving God means that you forget about pleasing people-pleasing. Paul says, am I now seeking the approval of man, or am I seeking the approval of God? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Being a child of light, a servant of Christ, means you live to please Him above all else. A Christian, think about your efforts. Think about how you make decisions, how you spend your money, how you spend your time. Parents, how you raise your children. Teenagers, young people, are you aimed at people-pleasing, or is your highest priority to please your Heavenly Father? A child of light diligently seeks to please the Lord in all things. Well, fourth, we come to darkness. How does a child of light respond to darkness? How do you handle the darkness in the world, the darkness around us? Paul tells us here really two key responses that children of light are to have to darkness. First, notice verse 11. Children of light, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. This phrase, take no part, it means that we have no partnership, we have no fellowship, we are not sharing with those who are living in darkness. And we saw this last week. This means that a child of light does not persist in darkness. It's not your pattern of life. Certainly, children of light will fall into sin. We all fall short, we all sin. But the mark of a child of light is that you do not persist in that sin. You don't have an ongoing partnership with darkness, with the works of darkness. There's a quick repentance. There's a quick turning away when we fall into sin, rather than continuing and fellowshipping with the works of darkness. And notice the works of darkness, how they're described. They're described as unfruitful, meaning they bring no fruit into the world. It's the opposite, actually, of what we see in verse 9. Verse 9, our fruit as children of light is to be good and right and true. And so these unfruitful works of darkness, they're the very opposite. There's nothing good, there's nothing right, there's nothing true in them. John Calvin actually speaks of a tree that doesn't bear edible fruit. We have some of these trees around us here in Hartsville. There's things growing on the tree, but if you eat them, it hurts you. They're not good for you. They make you sick. Calvin says these unfruitful works of darkness, when you participate with them and when you take them in, it actually destroys you. There's nothing good in them. Now this command to take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, this was a particularly important for the Christians in Ephesus, for the Ephesian church. As Ephesus, we've learned, this was a dark pagan city, full of sinful pagan worship, home to a ritual sex cult. In chapter 4, you remember, verse 19, Paul said, speaking of the Ephesians, they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality and greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That describes the culture of Ephesus. The works of darkness were running rampant all around. That was just the norm. In your work life, in your social life, in your home life, everything was corrupt in Ephesus. And so wherever the Ephesian Christians turned, there were opportunities to take part in darkness. Really, that hasn't changed for us today either, has it? There are opportunities wherever we go to take part in darkness. Darkness is all around us. You can find sinful darkness to participate and partner in wherever you go. And we have access to darkness without even leaving our homes. We have access to darkness on our devices. You don't even need to leave your house now to participate in the sinful works of darkness. And so Paul reminds us, children of light, you belong to the light, and so do not take part in these works of darkness. Christian, this is a call to take a look at your life, a long, hard look at your life. Where are you letting darkness into your life? Where might you even be partnering with darkness? So call to look at your life. Am I having fellowship with darkness? Am I letting sinful influences into my home, into my life, into my heart? So call to repent and turn away from these unfruitful works. And notice verse 12, Paul takes this even further. He says it's shameful to even speak of the things that they do in secret. We saw this last week in chapter 5, verse 4. Paul talks about our speech. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. We don't even speak about these sexual sins Paul talked about previously. Now it's shameful to even speak of what they do in secret. It's not just that we don't participate, but we don't even talk about it. Notice also verse 11. We don't participate in the works of darkness, but there's another call, verse 11, we are to expose the works of darkness. Now it starts to get uncomfortable for the Christian, right? It's a lot easier for us to stay away from the works of darkness and live and let live, let the people living in darkness do their own thing and we'll stay over here. But it doesn't just stop with staying away from darkness, we expose the works of darkness. Now, to expose the works of darkness, this word expose, it means to point out, to correct, to reprove, even to rebuke. Meaning Christians don't remain silent towards the darkness. We speak truth into the darkness. Now, I love John the Baptist here. John the Baptist has one of the clearest examples of what this looks like. Of course, Christ as well, but I want us to see John the Baptist. Turn over to Luke chapter 3. And here in Luke 3, we see John the Baptist rebuking Herod. The scripture tells us that Herod enjoyed the preaching of John the Baptist. In Mark chapter 6, verse 20, we read that Herod knew that John was a good and holy man, and Herod heard him gladly. He heard his preaching gladly. So we come to Luke 3, verse 3, and we read this. John the Baptist went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And then down to verse 18. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. So notice verse 19. As part of sharing the good news of the gospel, what did John the Baptist do? He reproved. That's the same word that is found in Ephesians for exposing the works of darkness. John the Baptist reproved Herod's sinful lifestyle. Now, what had Herod done wrong? He committed adultery. He stole his brother's wife. He's living in sinful adultery. So John calls out to him, Herod, brother, repent. Turn away from sin. Come to the light of Christ. Trade darkness for the light of Christ. Throughout history, many Christians have done this. They've exposed the darkness with the light of Christ by rebuking the darkness. Martin Luther is one example. Martin Luther nailing the 95 theses on the church doors is shedding light on the sins of the church, the sinful practices of the church. He's rebuking the darkness. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, many of you know his story. In the 1940s, he opposed Hitler and the wicked Nazi regime. And he called the German church to stand up against these atrocities, this wickedness and this violence. He's rebuking sin. In our own local community, in Florence, we have a choice to make pregnancy center. What are they doing? A lot of what they're doing is rebuking the darkness of abortion, speaking the light of Christ into the darkness. That's what Christians are called to do. Expose the darkness. And notice something else about the darkness. Back in Ephesians, verse 13. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. Now, what happens when you plug in a nightlight in a dark room? That room that was dark, immediately everything in the room now has at least a tint of lightness to it. What's Paul saying here, Christian? When you live in the light of Christ, you are exposing the darkness just by existing, just by living. You are like that nightlight in the world. Wherever you go, that is darkness, there's the light of Christ shining. And when you got up this morning, and you walked out your door and you got in the car and you drove to worship the Lord on a Sabbath morning, you are bringing light into the world. Your neighbors around you see you week in and week out. They're living in darkness, perhaps, choosing not to worship the Lord, to not honor the Sabbath day, not honor the Lord's day. And they see you just existing, just living your Christian life. You're bringing light into the darkness. And think of how many opportunities you have every single day before you to be the light of Christ in a dark world. For kids in your school, just the way you carry yourself, the way you speak to one another, the way you speak to your teachers, being diligent in your work and your studies and not cheating and not participating in gossip and slander and all these things. Just by existing as a Christian, you are bringing light into the world. For all ages, we have this opportunity before us. The light of Christ in you reflects all around, and the darkness is exposed just by living the light of Christ. Well, fifth, finally, this morning, we are called to share Christ. Children of light will share the hope of Christ. Notice verse 14. Verse 14 is a quotation. It says this, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Now here, Paul is quoting, or really rather paraphrasing, from the prophet Isaiah. So I want you to turn over to one other scripture, Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah 60, notice verse 1. Isaiah says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." Here Isaiah is declaring a message of salvation in the coming Savior, in the coming Messiah. The Lord has come, light has come. Arise, shine, come to the Lord of glory. While we're in Isaiah, just look down to chapter 61. This isn't part of Paul's quotation, but this is so rich. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. That's the message. Liberty for the captive, joy to the brokenhearted, slavery to sin, now you are freed in Christ. That's what Paul is telling the church in Ephesians. Many scholars believe what Paul wrote in Ephesians 5, verse 14, that this was an evangelistic hymn, maybe an Easter hymn that the church sang together. It's something that they paraphrased Scripture and sang together as the body of Christ. And so, like the church, we're singing these words, going out into the world and singing. That's your call, Christian. Amen. Go out into the world and proclaim, "Awake, O sleeper. You who are spiritually sleepwalking, Christ has come. The light of Christ has come. Awake from the darkness. No longer live in the darkness. No longer live in slavery to sin. There is freedom from darkness, freedom from sin. Come into the light of Christ." Children of light will share the message of Christ. Are you a sleeper today? Do you need this call? Awake, O sleeper. Awake, O sleeper, and receive the light of Christ. Christian, if you belong to Christ today, it's because God has given you His light while you were asleep. So let us go out as children of light and share this light of Christ. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank You and praise You for the light of Christ who shines into our lives, Lord. When we were in the deep, dark dungeon of sin, Lord, You brought Your light into our lives, Lord. We praise You. We thank You, Lord. Help us now, because we are light, Lord. We are no longer darkness. We are light. Help us to live as children of light, Lord, to bring this goodness and righteousness and truth into the world, Lord, to proclaim the goodness of You, Lord, and to call others, "Awake, O sleeper." Help us, God, as we do this, even this week. Give us opportunity, Father, to share the light of Christ. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.